So my big impossible right now.
So my impossible is...
My impossible.
The impossible.
I think the impossible...
An impossible dream that I think we could pull off one day would be...
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories. Today's guest is Rick Thomas, a father and a friend. He's someone who loves animals and has a passion for community development, which started during his 17-year venture in Uzbekistan. He developed low-cost projects to empower underserved communities with a concentration on single women with children and retired adults. Rick is also the VP of Community Development and Transformation at CU Strategic Planning, where he leads an elite group of people designing comprehensive plans that affect change and touch millions of lives. This is Rick's story. People who know you best will describe you as...
Well, it's kind of funny because our mutual friend, Mr. Hoffheimer, invited you to bring me on the show, and he would always say I had kind eyes and was good with animals. But I'll take it an extra step. I'll say, hey, you know, I'm just generous, an empath, someone that's always there to help.
What about today's version of yourself would impress your 10 years younger self?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I'll tell you what, being a dad of three, I would be pretty impressed to say that, you know, you kind of kept it together and stayed true to who you were as a father. And hopefully the kids 10 years from now will understand what that all means. So that would be what my younger self would tell me. Good job.
Nice. What's your most unpopular music opinion?
Yeah, I was... Unfortunately, I thought Transcendency meant Full Force and Lisa Lisa and Call Jam back in the mid-80s. And although I love the music, I would say that that would be the most unpopular music opinion I had in my life.
I'm sharing that with you. I love some Lisa Lisa.
Oh, yeah, you got to love it.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you danced so hard that your feet were sore?
But we have a really close Iranian family, friends, and they had a wedding in Columbus, Ohio. And it was about 7-8 years ago. And it just brought me back to Central Asia. You danced everywhere and anyhow. But that was probably the last time that I danced so hard that my feet actually did hurt the next day.
What gets an undeserved bad reputation?
How about the home telephone full-on cord, right?
Ooh, yes.
And, you know, when you think about it, it does get a little bit of a bad rep. Maybe not a hugely bad rep, but I just think about all the good times of family connection and scheduling. Yeah, that's where we really started to understand, hey, you know, my time to speak on the phone is between 7 and 8 and get away and trying to find privacy when that cord's still connecting you.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, you know, insulation wasn't what it was today. So I'm sure everybody heard everybody's conversation. And yeah, so I think that's something that gets a little bit of a bad rep.
What's one thing that someone you admire does?
I have a really great friend. I mean, George does so many wonderful things, but I'm going to take you into a different world. A good friend of mine from the Nisqually Indian tribe, Junior Slape, he has this ability to have critical and crucial conversations. And the guy, he's never, you know, went to college, and no one ever needs to really go to college, but his empirical knowledge is just so astute. And just the way that he can talk with folks and be able to come to resolution without anybody being upset was, in my mind, one of the best talents I've ever seen a person show. So...
tell us about your impossible.
I'd love to say nothing's impossible. I mean, I would love to play, you know, NFL football back in the day, but, you know, that's a little impossible when you're too short and too slow. But, you know, at the end of the day, is dreams can come true. It just really depends on perspective, right? And when you're working toward a goal and a couple doors shut, it really sounds tacky, but it really is true that other doors will open up. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I've been through, you know, almost being imprisoned overseas for owning a company that I shouldn't have owned, to being here today talking with you about how we can help more of the underserved get access to financial products and services. And, you know, we don't have enough time to talk about those fun times in life. I take it all as a, you know, just experience that made me a better person to help more people today.
What are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable at the time?
A lot of, you know, just growing, right? People don't, just this immediate satisfaction or the immediate ability to succeed doesn't really work unless you've failed, right? So my challenges, the one most recent was, you know, being let go from a job and, you know, just a little bit of a difference of opinion where I was working from the initial startup of a social enterprise and being forced into a square, you know, hole or a round hole when I'm a square peg for developing it into a business, right, to generate profits. And it just didn't translate. So, you know, as far as overcoming obstacles, you know, just staying positive. And like I said, you know, that door is shut, but it opened up doors such as, you know, being here with you, working with CU Strategic Planning and helping credit unions help more people in areas that really need the help.
Was there a point during your journey that you felt like giving up?
No, and I think my wife and I, when we came back from Uzbekistan back in 2008, you know, the most robust job market time, 2008, 2009, it didn't matter if you had degrees or business experience. And I came back to not even being able to get a pizza delivery job. I was pumping gas for the first 6 months. And I'm a 36-year-old dude with, like, you know, 15, 16 years of business experience and development experience. And that's a smack of life. But, you know, through each day that was hard with two little kids at the time, it was, you know, I just knew our upside, right? I mean, we both were passionate about helping people. My wife is a numbers person. I'm kind of, you know, an artist in a way. So I like to create and write. And so, yeah, I just always never felt overwhelmed to the point that I had to stop, but there was always going to be something better there, right? You just have to take those steps to get there.
What's one thing you learned about yourself while going through this impossibility?
I think it's a wonderful thing and also a curse to be overly, what's the word? Yes, I got to think this morning. Optimistic, right? I mean, I'm just an eternal optimist. And, you know, sometimes that's the wonderful thing that gets you to that next step. Sometimes it can get you in a little bit of hot water. But, you know, just having, you know, all people have good in them. You know, it's just trying to, sometimes you got to pull it out. And, you know, I think we all have a, just a fingerprint we can put on, you know, this world to make it a better place. So it's always driving me to get to the next thing, to see things happen that seem impossible, but that can really work out for people and help them, you know, achieve better quality of life. And I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but it's a good question.
What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction and use the fire in their bellies to bring their impossible dreams to life?
You can't win unless you've learned from loss, right? It's just impossible. It's impossible to think that, you know, you can be in a Fortune 500 company or one of the, you know, top nonprofit groups in the world and achieve when you haven't like tasted a little bit of what defeat is. And you can ask anybody from a Michael Jordan to, you know, Beyonce to, you know, ask the president, you know, you have to taste the defeat. You have to learn from the losses to pile up on the win column. So my advice would be, even if you had the worst day ever, at night, before you go to bed, think about the five good things, or at least five positive things that have happened to you. And I really feel that's been a really great way for me to stay positive. And it can be as easy as I went to the grocery store, right? Just something that was a negative. Because today's world, it's a little hard with so much media for people to kind of stay on that path. But, you know, you think about it, you do a lot more good than you give yourself credit as a people. So we need to take a little time to have some insight about our days and months and years.
What do you look forward to most in the next 12 months?
Well, from a professional standpoint, look forward to this initiative that was put out, the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. It's a $27 billion initiative. It's going to help with improving communities, provide loans and grants to folks to be able to upgrade their insulation in their house, or their HVAC system, or, you know, help with electric car or hybrid car purchases. And I think this initiative from the government will really help credit unions connect even further to the underserved. Because when you're talking about upgrades, not all about solar panels, not everybody can afford that. But it's really about, you know, how can we cut heating costs in someone's home in Detroit, Michigan, right, during the winter? I mean, a little bit of insulation, better technology can really change the game. So I'm looking forward to that initiative being announced here, who the winners will be for the main players, and we hope that we can funnel as many of our credit union friends into that fund, because it's going to be big and hopefully game changing for the industry.
You might have already said it, but what's your next impossible, my friend?
Well, you know, this one's not impossible because it's money that's been allocated, so we'll call that hopefully a win.
Good.
But you know, it's just to take, I took an opportunity with CU Strategic Planning to be able to help more people, right? A lot of my work's been, you know, pretty local and focused on, you know, a tribe or a town or something like that. With my position here, I can help tens of thousands of folks through credit unions, getting them the products and services they need. So my next impossible is, how can we make that even bigger and better? Because it's doable, and it's really a little bit more of a challenge because you're seeing for-profit banks pull out of these small communities or inner city communities. We really need to promote credit unions. We need to not think merger first when things are getting hard. We need to think about how we can survive and how we can still help the underserved according to our mission statements. So the next big thing will be that. How can we expand it, make it efficient, and be able to take on some of the challenges that will come in 24 and 25?
Who's someone else that should share their story with us?
Well, I would have told you George, but he's already shared it.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, I think I would offer, no, I don't think, I mean, in a heartbeat, I would give you Jamie Strayer as a possible person to sit down and talk with. Jamie Strayer is the founder of CU Strategic Planning, and it was basically founded in her kitchen with one baby in her arm, helping two credit unions create a grant for the CDFI fund. Yeah. She's just a wonderful lady. She's a producer from her background, and she's working now with Opportunity Opportunity Knocks, which is a great Emmy award-winning production that really gets into the homes of people that are needing the help, and they get financial coaches that are pretty popular to sit with them, and we record that and show how the process works and how people can pull themselves out of, you know, financial difficulties and whatnot. And it's very, very inspiring, and she's an inspiring lady. I would have said all my team at CU Strategic Planning, because they're all super inspiring, but start with her and she'll pass on the torch to someone else. How about that?
So in terms of memorable conversations on a phone with a cord, I don't think I can remember that. What I can remember is my grandmother, Edith, who I was very close to, had a phone that was green and it sat on her desk. And she, when she would dial, she would listen to how many times afterwards that it would ring. And she would always say, one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. And she would let it go for four ringy dingies before she would hang up. So that's what I remember about phones with cords. So when you think about mismatches, I think what's difficult, and he talked about this, right? I am someone who is an optimist. There are moments where people would say I'm not, but ultimately I'm my mother's optimist. And hope can be really dangerous, as can grit. And, you know, there are times where it's important to know that it's time to move on, as Tom Petty would say. And understanding how much you give to something before you are clear that it's a mismatch is something that only you and an organization, or you and another human, can navigate. And, you know, I do think that as much as we talk right now, especially about next generations of thinking there are mismatches too early, I think there are probably as many untold stories of people who go through mismatches for far too long and do danger to themselves and to organizations. So, you know, I think one of the things that can help people to, I think, both avoid mismatches and navigate them when they happen is to know where your lines are. You know, what are those things that are most important? And as you get home at night, are you feeling more joy or less joy? Are you feeling more energy about the next day or less energy? And navigating that over the course of, let's say, 90 days, if the answer to that is generally less joy, that's probably a sign. So the question is about why an organization might seek a grant. I think that for any organization, ultimately, from a leadership perspective, considering how you provide the most valuable possible and find the most resources for your organization and those that you serve, and I think grants can extend that reach significantly, particularly if you get really good at it. You know, there are great examples of credit unions who have developed that skill, and it has allowed them to change the lives of their members and their team members vastly more than without them. So, you know, I think it is an extension of the organization and can be really powerful in magnifying impact.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.